Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's Same Game Multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the Same Game Multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and a warm welcome back to the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post. The Premier League has hit fever pitch and we've got a team of experts to guide you through this week's fixtures. Dan Childs and Aidan Perkins join me from the Racing Post Sport Desk, and we welcome Carl Monaghan from our sponsors, Paddy Power. So much to get through. It all starts on Friday evening. It's Fulham against Wolverhampton Wanderers. And Carl, what a massive opportunity it was for Fulham against Aston Villa. They were leading up until the 78th minute and then it all went wrong, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a spectacular collapse, Jack. And I think a huge blow to the morale as well. Just the manner of that defeat in what looked like a game that they had picked up a really valuable 3 points. And then, of course, you had Newcastle, didn't they? They got the late draw against Spurs. So it just compelled that disastrous result. And they were 11-8 on Friday night, Jack, against Wolves, who were 11-5. The draw is 2-1. Wolves weren't great themselves, were they? They were 3-0 down to West Ham. They came back to 3-2. But in terms of this match here, I see a scoreless draw here. I see a really nervous Fulham. I see a blunt Wolves, and I see no fireworks. And I'll probably go with 0-0 in the correct score market, around 11-2.
Okay, Dan, I suppose this Wolves side, they're not the Wolves side we've come used to in recent seasons, are they? They haven't won in five. Is this kind of the last throw of the dice for Fulham here?
I don't know about the last throw of the dice. It's a big game for them. Obviously, a massive game for them. But I think with Wolves, they went a little bit off plan, didn't they, earlier in the season to try and improve it. The change from that regular back three that they've been playing went to a back four for a few matches, and I think it just destabilised them a little bit. The change in formation, changing what they've been so used to doing, and losing Raúl Jiménez as well, for such a large part of the season. I just think those things combine in the Premier League, which is such a fine line in games that if you're not at your stride a bit, it's easy to go from like a 7 team to sort of lower mid-table team. And I think that maybe what's happened to Wolves, lose a bit of confidence as well. I think in this game, I mean, you could see Fulham having a good chance of winning it, but the prices, 11-8, they've only won 5 games out of 31 matches in the Premier League this season, Fulham. Do you really want to be backing them as favourites? I don't. Actually, for once, I'm going to disagree with Carl. I can see goals in this game. I think it was a very chaotic finish to that Aston Villa game, wasn't it? Fulham looked good, deservedly 1-0 in front with sort of 15 minutes to go and then lost 3-1. Maybe got a bit edgy. But they are trying to... they have to try and win games for them. I have to try and take a few risks. Maybe that's what happened at Villa. Went to 1-1 and they're still trying to win the game. And I think that's going to lead to more goals in Fulham matches, between now and the end of the season. Wolves, they were involved in a bit of a chaotic game as well against West Ham, went 3-0 down, got back to 3-2. They actually had a lot of shots, 20 shots, which is a lot for Wolves in that match, to West Ham's 9. So they're going to carry a counter-attacking threat, as they always do, Wolves. Fulham are going to be pushing forward. So, that follows me to believe that there'll be a few goals in this one. And both teams to score 11-10, I don't think it's a bad bet.
Aidan, how much do you think that match against Aston Villa will still be in the minds of the Fulham players? Because it felt like that was the game where they could possibly really turn a corner in their hopes of Premier League survival. And they were, just over 10 minutes away from picking up 3 points. And then it all went wrong, didn't it? So will that still be fresh in the minds, or is that simply put it behind you and we go again?
Well, I mean, at this stage of the season, then it's a case of getting over a defeat like that as quickly as possible in Fulham's position. I mean, it was such a turnaround. They were on the verge, weren't they, of a really good win. And to be honest with you, going into that match, I thought Fulham would win it. I expected a Fulham win, but that can have a big effect on teams to concede goals right at the end, 3 goals in the last 15 minutes or whatever it was, 12 minutes, I think it was. It was worse than that. I mean, when I look at this match, I was sort of in the build-up to it thinking myself, reading a few previews that would suggest there wouldn't be too many goals. But Dan's right in that, both teams have actually been involved in big scoring matches recently. So I think the sort of the way to look at it would be that there might well be goals in this match, even though maybe last week we would have said it could easily have been a nil-nil. So I think, you know, I'm going to probably go on the side of Dan in this one. And I like Fulham to win at 11-8, to be honest. I think out of the two, they just have a little bit more to play for. And with what's on the line towards the end of the season, I would go for a Fulham winning this one.
Yeah, lots on the line for the first game previewed, Fulham against Wolves. Let's move on to Saturday in the early kickoff season, Manchester City against Leeds United. Carl, the prices and your tip.
Yeah, so Man City are 1-4, Leeds are 9-1, the draw is 9-2. Now, approach with caution, Jack. This is the early kickoff, aka the Aka Buster in recent weeks. We saw with Chelsea against West Brom and Chelsea Leeds even recently. Favourites not winning the early kickoff, but I do think City are going to obviously win this match. I do fancy City to win and both teams to score. I just think it was a tough match in midweek against Dortmund for Man City. Their squad rotation is working well, but I just see Leeds getting on the score sheet, landing a glove, and City just winning over the 90 minutes, having too much for them. Leeds have not won of them three games in a row all season as well. They've won their last two. I don't think they'll win this. So City to win and both teams to score at 6-4 looks logical to me here.
Yeah, Dan, it's a good point there from Carl. Of course, we do have midweek European action. Manchester City were playing. Of course, Manchester City are kind of an exemption, really, because of the depth in their squad. So even if they do rotate, it's still remarkably strong. But for punters listening out there, worth noting, isn't it? Like, team news can be a big variant on come Saturday.
It can be. I think, as you've just mentioned there, Jack, though, it's less so with Manchester City, because when you look at, you know, they've got a very, you know, healthy squad at the moment, and you look at the players that are on the bench against Dortmund, you've got Gabriel Jesus, Sergio Aguero, Raheem Sterling. I mean, if you're going to freshen it up by bringing some of those guys in, you're not really... You could even argue that it's strengthening the side. I mean, he went with a false nine, didn't he, Bernardo Silva, for the Dortmund game. Not sure it really worked that well. And they looked a bit more lively, I think, when Jesus came on in the second half. Probably played better in the second half. And there's a performance against Dortmund where they weren't really up to their usual standards, Manchester City. But getting that late winner is just kind of giving them a massive boost, I feel. And I just think the Leeds game, you can always rely on Manchester City mentally with Pep Guardiola not to kind of lose their standards in the middle of a big European tie. I do think they're going to be strong again here. Leeds style makes it difficult for any team. But if any, you know, the way they play, pressing, high energy. But if any side is going to be able to beat that press and play through it, have the quality to play through it, it's Manchester City. They've won the last four Premier League games by two goals or more. That feeds into my tip. I think they'll win this game fairly comfortably. So Manchester City -1 on the handicap at 8-11 is my selection.
Yeah, often difficult to find value in these types of games when the home side's going off fours on, Aidan, isn't it? What's your pick?
Yeah, I think there'll be goals as well, like the other guys have said. Fairly obvious, you know, Leeds have been scoring goals for fun, and we know Manchester City are so good going forward that they're going to score goals as well. I think it's certainly one game across the weekend that's definitely not going to be nil-nil. I mean, you know, Leeds have done well. They've probably punched above their weight to a certain extent in terms of where they're going to finish in the league. They might well be in a top 10 finish, which isn't bad going considering it's their first time back in the Premier League for so long. In terms of you know, the goals in the match, I can see over 3.5 at 11-10. Around that is what you're going to get for that. And, you know, that seems a lot to get four goals in one match. But, you know, Leeds, they've scored goals for fun. The previous six matches away from home, there's been 19 goals in Leeds' previous six games on the road. City have scored two or more in their last 10. So I think we're going to see goals, and I'd go for over 3.5.
Goals galore in the opening game on the Saturday. Let's move on to the 3:00 Liverpool taking on Aston Villa. And Carl, it feels like for Liverpool this season, it's been one step forward, two steps back, a resounding win over Arsenal in the Premier League. Talks of, you know, the possibility of sneaking back into that top four. And then a really disappointing display against the Real Madrid side that had injuries. How do we think this game against Villa is going to pan out?
Yeah, I'm really unsure as to how to play this one because of just how poor they were against Real Madrid. And I thought the selection of Keita was poor from Klopp as well in midfield against Real Madrid, especially against Modric and Kroos. Didn't make any sense to me. But anyway, Liverpool 1-2, Aston Villa 5-1, the draw 16-5. I just think Liverpool are fragile at the moment, and I think that defeat will definitely leave its mark on them against Real Madrid. Aston Villa, they're kind of playing good stuff. There's not a whole amount of pressure on them at the moment. They've secured their status for next year. They've played some good stuff, and there's a lot of freedom. There's lots to like about their late win against Fulham. You have to remember as well, your man came off the bench, didn't he? Trezeguet got two. So there's lots to like about Villa. I think the other way to play this is Villa and the draw, the double chance at 7-5, because just Liverpool are just so hot and cold, and I'm unsure as to whether he'll pull on three or four players and rotate, because obviously sandwiched between the two games with Real Madrid.
Dan, how do Liverpool replicate that Arsenal performance as opposed to the Real Madrid performance in this game?
Well, they're very up and down at the moment, aren't they, Liverpool? I mean, the game at Arsenal, I thought, was one of their best performances of the season. They were absolutely superb. One game 3-0 and restricted Arsenal, who had a lot of good attacking players on the pitch, next to nothing, and then they go to Real Madrid, and maybe it shows you that Real Madrid, maybe we've us underestimated them a little bit. I mean, they were six favourites in the Champions League outright market before these quarterfinals started, and maybe the markets have not really given Real Madrid enough respect. But Liverpool were poor in that game. I think they're going to be desperate to bounce back here, and they are banging the race again now for this top four with Chelsea's result against West Brom. There's only a 3-point gap now from Liverpool to West Ham in fourth place, so it's a big game for Liverpool. I think Klopp will go with a strong side, and I do think they'll have too much for Aston Villa. I think Villa, they had that late flurry against Fulham. I think that kind of flattered them a little bit. For 75 minutes, they were quite poor. In the seven games previously, they'd only scored three goals. They have been really missing Jack Grealish, who doesn't seem to be any nearer to recovering from his shin injury. So Liverpool, the other side of it, players are going to, do remember previous games. They are going to be thinking about making amends for that horrific, 7-2 near the start of the season as well at Villa Park. So I think Liverpool are going to be looking to send a message, ahead of the second leg, get back to those standards that they set against Arsenal. And I think they'll keep another clean sheet here. I'm going to go Liverpool to win today at 7-4.
Yeah, that 7-4 is an absolute lifetime ago, doesn't it? Aidan, it's a funny old season, because last week on the Football Postcast, we were discussing if Liverpool want to get back into the Champions League, it's likely that they'll probably have to win the Champions League. That's more of a chance than getting back into the top four. But as Dan alluded to there, 3 points from the top four now with Chelsea losing, there's a good opportunity for them to kick on in the Premier League.
Yeah, there is. I mean, Liverpool's home form has been absolutely dismal in the Premier League. Haven't won in 2021 in the Premier League, and all these terrible home defeats against Brighton, Everton, Burnley, teams like that. Now this game, to me, has the look of that again. Unfortunately, from a Liverpool point of view, a lot depends on whether or not Jack Grealish plays for Aston Villa. You've just mentioned him before. He is obviously their key man. I think if Grealish plays for Villa, then you could definitely make an argument for the Villa double chance that Carl mentioned before at 7-5. But Grealish was in the build-up to the match last week against Fulham. They thought Grealish was going to play in that, but then sort of about an hour before, when the team news came out, he wasn't involved. It's still very much uncertain. If Grealish doesn't play, I'd be tempted to go with Liverpool. If Grealish does play, I think Villa can get something out of it. Liverpool have got this sort of a weird kind of a feeling playing at home at the minute. They went so long, that massive unbeaten run, over 3 years at home. But this year, it's just been terrible. And I think that if the game starts slowly and Villa set up like Dean Smith will, with being very compact and sitting in, and Liverpool having a lot of the ball but looking a bit slow, you can easily see this drifting to an hour in and it's 0-0, and then Villa might think of sneaking one. My heart's saying a Liverpool win, but my head is saying Villa double chance.
Chances for Aston Villa. Which way will that one go? Let us know. Tweet us at Racing Post Sport. One game left to preview on the Saturday. It's 5:30 and it's Crystal Palace against Chelsea. Carl, Chelsea's recent form is funny, isn't it? 0-0 against Leeds, 2-0 against Atletico, 2-0 against Sheffield United, then a 5-2 defeat to West Brom and a 2-0 win over Porto. Are we agreeing that we can sort of scratch through that West Brom result? Because it was a strange old game, wasn't it?
It was, and I watched it, and it was definitely a strange old game. And Chelsea looked to be the better side for the first 35 minutes in it, but it was just strange that, I mean, the red card, they did collapse. It was unusual. It's the first sign of evidence that we have that not all was well in the Tuchel camp. But, I mean, obviously, we watched very closely last night to see was there any after effects. And as well as Porto did last night, so they're missing two of their strikers. But it was a pretty professional performance by Chelsea and got the job done with two away goals. So it was impressive. Kante got 10 minutes the last day out. He's likely to come back in and maybe start. So he's huge for them in the middle of the park here. So and also, Batsui can't play against his parent club. So he'll be out for Palace. He scored against Everton last week. So that reduces Palace's chances of getting something from this. I think a Chelsea win and under 2.5 goals is the double I'd play here, around 2-1. And Mason Mount, that was a brilliant goal last night. And he has 2-2. Something about him at the moment. He's playing really nice stuff. And I thought at 11-4, any time Mason Mount to score looked a cracking goal score bet.
Dan, I don't know about you. Maybe it's just because, you know, Bruce is not maybe presenting the Football Postcast as much as he once was. But it feels as if there hasn't been much chat about Crystal Palace this season. And I think that's unfair because they've, on paper, had a really solid season. Last time out against Everton looked bright. How do you think they'll fare here?
Yeah, they're having another, you know, decent season. They're kind of, you know, Roy Hodgson always seems to get them you know comfortably safe, doesn't he, with, you know, quite a lot of the season to go. I think they don't create lots of chances, and I'm not so sure that I think they would have had a better chance in this game, you know, with a full Selhurst Park. I think in these big London derbies, when you've got a decent crowd in there at Selhurst, it can be a tricky occasion for the visiting team. I think with an empty Selhurst Park, it makes the task a lot easier for Chelsea. I'm going to go with Chelsea and under 3.5 goals, shade of odds. I think it's a really solid bet. I just think that Palace, they kind of rely on that counter-attacking threat, don't they? Particularly Wilfried Zaha. I think Chelsea, generally, they don't tend to get out of shape. I mean, I do think that 5-2 against West Brom is a bit of an outlier of a result, really. The 7 games before, they kept clean sheets, got back to keeping a clean sheet again against Porto with a very good result. You have got to be mindful that it's a swift turnaround. You've got only 6 days between the first leg against Porto and the second leg. So there could be quite a few changes for Chelsea, but their squad is so big and strong, they can rotate and bring in lots of quality. I do think they'll win this game reasonably comfortably. But as we know with Tuchel, they don't score more than 2 goals, do they, Chelsea? They don't score lots of goals. So that feeds into the tip. Chelsea and under 3.5 goals.
Aidan, are you in agreement?
Yeah, I think it will be a Chelsea win. I think we always say, don't we, in the aftermath of the big European games, how do teams react to that? You've got to remember Palace have had a free week in terms of the build-up. Chelsea have had the big tie against Porto. So, you know, that may take a little bit out of Chelsea, but I agree with the other lads in that I think it will be a Chelsea win. And I also like Mason Mount's in form. You know, you've got to look at players when they're in form and look at the streaks that they're going on. So Mount to score any time is a good bet. I was trying to look for a little bit of value in this one. And the way I was approaching it was half-time, full-time, and thought about Palace sort of digging in and denying Chelsea in the first half, Chelsea getting on top in the second half, maybe edging a 1-0 win, something like that. So draw Chelsea to me in the half-time, full-time market, 3-1 is something that appeals. I think Chelsea will have enough to win. You know, again, it's one of them that there's more on the line for Chelsea in this game, knowing that the top four is very much up for grabs and the teams are chasing them and they want to bounce back from the defeat against West Brom. I know they've already done it against Porto, but you know what I mean in terms of the league game. You know, whereas Palace, they're almost there in terms of finishing in around that top 10 again. So more on the line for Chelsea, a Chelsea win, but it'll probably be more in the second half where they get the job done.
6 Premier League games left to get through. Stay with us.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. It's myself, Jack Reeve, joined with Dan Childs, Aidan Perkins and Carl Monaghan today. Still 6 games left to get through. And let's start with Burnley against Newcastle, midday on Sunday. And Carl, Newcastle still looking down rather than up.
Yeah, they are. And they're 13-10 in the relegation betting. Fulham are 8-11. Obviously, 3 points separates them, but Fulham have played one more. Burnley are 13-10, Newcastle 23-10. draw 2-1. I thought there was lots to like, Jack, about Newcastle's spirited comeback against Spurs last time out. And I'm going to give them a chance. I never give Steve Bruce a chance on this podcast. I'm going to change my stripes today as well. I'm going to go Newcastle on the draw at around 4-7. But I also like Newcastle to win on both teams to score at a big price of 6-1.
Dan, there's difficult ways to get points in football, and Newcastle certainly took that route against Spurs. Got themselves ahead. You thought, right, now's your time to kick on. Then conceded two quick Harry Kane goals and then came back into it late on. I guess there were positives from that, but there was still kind of remnants of that fragility, wasn't there?
It was, but I thought it was a very, positive, largely front foot performance from Newcastle, which they have been trying to play more, attacking football. And I thought they thoroughly, pains me to say it as a Spurs supporter, but I thought they thoroughly deserved the point, Newcastle. And I agree with Carl. I think they're got a good chance here at Burnley. Newcastle draw no bets. What I'm going to go with at 5-4. Think that they're carrying more of a threat now. They had Almiron, Wilson and Saint-Maximin were out, weren't they? They got Almiron back against Spurs. Saint-Maximin came on, and lifted the tempo for them when they were 1-0 down. And I do think, they've got a decent chance here. They're usually solid enough at the back, Newcastle. Burnley don't score a lot of goals, and they were a bit un-Burnley-like, weren't they, last week? They took a 2-goal lead against Southampton and squandered it and lost 3-2. That's not going to be great for their confidence. There's only actually a 4-point gap between these two sides, so there's not a lot of difference between them. Newcastle are going to be the more confident after last week's results. I think they've got a good chance.
Aidan, it's all well and good saying, it was a spirited performance against Spurs, but at the end of the day, Newcastle haven't won in 7, and can they kind of return to winning ways here? It feels like they've almost forgotten how to get the job done.
Yeah, I don't think you can trust Newcastle. They were a lot better against Tottenham, but they seem to raise their game against the bigger teams and the better teams. And when it seems to, the attention seems to be on them like it was against Tottenham last week. I think Burnley will win this match 13-10 for a home win. I may be a bit mad because Burnley's home form is pretty dismal. I don't think they've won in 6, maybe even more than that. So I'm just going with instinct on this. I just look at this and I just think Newcastle, there seems to be, in a bit of a in the doldrums still, and there's so much going on behind the scenes. Steve Bruce is constantly complaining about the negative headlines that he's getting, and I know they did have a better performance against Tottenham, but I just think this, an early kickoff on Sunday, Newcastle won't fancy this, in my opinion, and I'm going to go for a home win for Burnley.
Yeah, it's a big game down there near the bottom, that one. West Ham against Leicester's up next. Here's two sides who've had a brilliant season, Carl. I guess the only negative for West Ham at the moment is that news surrounding Declan Rice's injury.
Absolutely, Jack. And 11-4 they are to make the top four. That's a big price if you fancy the Hammers, who've been brilliant. Remember, Jack, it is April and West Ham are fourth in the table. Wow. West Ham 2-1, Leicester 13-10. The draw is 9-4. I just thought there was a little bit of value on West Ham here on the prices, 2-1. In their last 20 games, they won 11, drawn 5, and they lost 4, but that was to City, United, Liverpool and Chelsea. They've only been beaten by the better teams, so they've gone really well this season. Jesse Lingard in great form, and they're my tip to win a 2-1.
Just a quick spin through that top four market, Carl. We've got West Ham on 52 points in fourth. You can almost look all the way down to eighth place, Everton, who have played a game less and are 5 points behind. What's the prices for this?
Yeah, so top four betting one, Man United 1-40, Leicester are 4-11, Liverpool 10-11, Chelsea 11-10, West Ham are 11-4, like I said, big price, Spurs 4-1. And I'll get you that Everton price now. It's just on my screen. Yeah, 30-1 for the toffee. So that's how the top four bets.
Yeah, some tasty prices in there. Dan, West Ham have been brilliant, haven't they? Can they continue their form here?
Not for me. No, I'm going to go with Leicester at 13-10. I just think that, Leicester having another fantastic season. I mean, their away record is just, unbelievable, isn't it? 10 wins, 4 draws, 1 defeat. It's absolutely fantastic that they've been on the road. They've got Maddison come back from injury, come off the bench, against Manchester City. So with Maddison and Vardy and Iheanacho in great form as well, they've got, all their better attacking options, Leicester, available. And West Ham are missing a couple of really big players. Declan Rice, I think, has been absolutely outstanding for them in the field this season. Mikel Antonio as well went off injured in that 3-2 victory at Wolves, which actually were hanging on a bit towards the end. Wolves in the end won the shotgun 20-9. So there was just first signs maybe of a bit of vulnerability that those, you know, the loss of those key players could affect West Ham going forward. Fancy Leicester to win this one.
Aidan, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, two evenly matched teams, isn't it? So the obvious one that I'm looking at is the draw, 9-4. West Ham, I think losing Antonio and Rice is a big thing for them. If those two players were playing, I'd be definitely siding with West Ham to win the match. Jesse Lingard's been absolutely outstanding as well. I've just read this morning that I think West Ham are going to do everything they can to make that deal a permanent one with Manchester United. He's been like a completely new player, hasn't he, for them? And he'll obviously be buzzing going into this match. I'd look at him in terms of scoring. But Leicester have had a really good season as well. And I just think with that injury news that we've just mentioned there, I think it'll give Leicester hope of getting something in this match. I do like the draw at 9-4.
Absolutely. Let's stay with you, Aidan, for the next game. It's Spurs against Manchester United, 4:30 on the Sunday. Spurs obviously didn't get the job done against Newcastle. Can they get the job done against Manchester United here?
Well, I mean, it's Jose Mourinho against one of his old teams again, so that adds a bit of extra spice into it. Manchester United playing on Thursday, so that might just have an impact on the game as well in their Europa League game against Granada. It's one of them ones that you could make a case for, you know, to go either way. I'm siding a little bit more with Tottenham. They're frustrating, Tottenham, aren't they? Because when you think they're getting close to the top four and they're getting back to their best, and you think that, you know, Harry Kane last week with those two quick goals got them in front at Newcastle, then they let Newcastle back in, and it's frustrating from Tottenham's point of view. 15-8 for Tottenham to win this match, I think, is decent odds, and with Manchester United playing on Thursday, that's the way I'd go with it.
Dan, how about you? What's your kind of angle for this one?
Yeah, I'm very similar. I'm going to go with Spurs. I think are a big price at 15-8. Just think it's a lot easier, isn't it, having a 3 week, you know, going into the game. Manchester United, the last Europa League trip, they went to Milan, got a great result, won 1-0. 3 days later, they were well below par in that FA Cup defeat, the 3-1 loss at Leicester. I think it could be a similar sort of scenario here. I also think it's just a big game for Spurs. Manchester United are quite secure in that top four, aren't they, in second place at the moment. Spurs, you're getting too close to kind of win or bust for them if they're going to, you know, the 3 points outside the top four. They really need to make a push now to try and get in there. They're also boosted in terms of the starting lineup. You've got Heung-Min Son and Harry Kane are highly likely to start together for the first time since the North London Derby last month. You think back to that 6-1 Old Trafford that seems a lifetime ago earlier in the season. They both got two goals and an assist in that game. I mean, they're just such a massive threat. It might make the difference here. Spurs for me.
And Carl, with all of that being said, you know, Manchester United have a Europa League quarter-final to contend with in midweek as well. And surely at this stage in the season, that's the priority here.
Yeah, I think it will be. And I think Spurs will be fresher. And I have to jump in with the lads as well. I do like Spurs at 15-8. Lots of reasons. United in the final third, Jack, in the last 5 weeks. Just loads of question marks. Rashford's not 100% fit. Martial's injured. Bruno looks just a little bit off it. Cavani was like a polar bear in the jungle against Brighton last week. He looked lost. So 15-8, Spurs win. And Harry Kane, 5 goals in his last 4 for club and country. He's in red-hot form. I like him at 4-1 in the first goal market.
I've never heard that saying before. That's made me giggle. Good work. Sheffield United, Arsenal, the final game on Sunday. This is a 7:00 kickoff. Go on, Dan. We'll start with you here. Any kind of reason to fight in Sheffield United's corner?
I'm gonna a little bit. I'm gonna go with a draw at 14-5. It's more of a negative take on Arsenal. Really, I thought they were just absolutely dreadful in that game. Against Liverpool. You could see how frustrated Mikel Arteta was, you know, with the performance of the team. And I think that result removes any, you know, tiny hope they might have had of qualifying for a European place, you know, via their league position. They look completely out of it now. And it's all about the Europa League now for Arsenal. They're going to be, you know, all of their eggs are going to be in the basket of getting a result against Slavia Prague on the Thursday and then preparing right for the return match. In the Czech Republic, I think the Sheffield United game's not going to take their main focus, and that may lead to a poor result, because Sheffield United, just a few little small signs that they're, that after that 5-0 at Leicester, where they were absolutely dreadful, the FA Cup game at Chelsea, the 2-0, they were reasonably competitive in that one and didn't get completely battered, you know, in that 2-1 defeat at Leeds last weekend. So showing a little bit more of a competitive edge, I'll take them to get a draw here.
Aidan, what about you?
Yeah, I think it'll be an Arsenal win. But I agree with Dan in that Arsenal were dreadful against Liverpool last week. And obviously, they've got this big match in Europe as well. So, you know, we do have to take that into account. The problem is that they're playing against a Sheffield United team that know that they're already relegated. And I do agree that they have shown a few signs in recent weeks. And yeah, they only lost 2-1 to Leeds last week. But I do think Leeds missed quite a lot of chances in that match and probably should have been a bit more of a comfortable win. So I think Arsenal win, even though I'm not convinced about Arsenal at all. It's just the fact that they're going to Sheffield United away. And, you know, I think that they will be able to summon up enough to get the win. The goals markets maybe is where to look at here. I don't think there'll be too many goals in this. I think it could be a bit of a flat game, under 2.5, 3-4, something like that.
Which way are you going, Carl? Are you going to be watching this game or are you going to be opting for something else?
Ooh, I think I'm going to be watching the golf. But no, just with Arsenal 4-7, I'll probably row in beside Arsenal. I just think with John Egan out injured for Sheffield United, they just have lost 7 of their last 8 in the league. And under 2.5 sounds good there for Maiden. So yeah, Arsenal and under 2.5 goals is how I'd play this one.
Okay, great stuff. Let's move on to Monday then. Just the two games on Monday, a 6 o'clock and an 8:15. The 6 p.m. game is West Bromwich Albion against Southampton. Carl, is there much to play for either side here?
I don't think so. West Brom are 5-2, Jack. Southampton 6-5. The draw is 21-10. I did think there was lots to like about Southampton's 3-2 win against Burnley, especially Danny Ings. He looked very much in the mood. He looked sharp, took his goal very well. So Danny Ings' first goal score at 11-4 is definitely a bet I'd have in this.
Dan?
I'm going to go West Brom. I mean, it looks like a massive, you know, tall order, 8 points from safety with 8 games to go. But any team, if you've gone just 1-5-2 at Chelsea, you are going to start to believe a little, you know, a little bit that the great escape could be possible. And your big players, you know, you've got Matheus Pereira, who I rate a lot. I think he'll be I don't think he'll be hanging around to play in the Championship next season. He scored twice, didn't he, against Chelsea. I've mentioned him by Diagne, who I've rated. I've liked the look of him since he's come in on loan from Galatasaray. He got a goal as well at Chelsea. So both of those are going to be confident. And it really is, you know, win or bust for West Brom. They've got to try and win this game. You know, if you can get to the weekend, all of a sudden you're 5 points from safety with 7 games to go. It's all of a sudden, it looks like mission possible. So they're up against the Southampton team. Okay, good fight back last week to beat Burnley. They've lost 6 of the last 7 Premier League away games. The exception was a 2-0 win at Sheffield United. Can't have Southampton as favourites. West Brom for me.
So do I have permission from you then, Dan, to title this as Dan Child's football guru thinks that West Brom have a chance of survival here?
There's 8 points from safety. Stranger things have happened. You go back to when Sunderland, when Poyet came in, didn't he? And they suddenly win a lot of games against huge teams, beat Chelsea, beat Manchester United. It's things like this have happened, you know, in the past. So highly unlikely, but not impossible.
Well, there we go. If West Brom fans are listening, that's happy listening. There we go. Aidan, you can have the final say on this.
Yeah, I think it will be a West Brom win as well. And that's because of the fact that I was so impressed with West Brom against Chelsea last week. I mean, they didn't just win the match after Chelsea had the man sent off. They were actually quite good for the first half before Chelsea had Thiago Silva sent off, and they were playing some good football really. I think there's an element of people that think that Sam Allardyce just plays direct football and he's not particularly fashionable or anything like that. But they actually tore Chelsea apart in that second half with some really good goals. I think they'll be really confident. More to play for again for them, which is something that you really have to bear in mind at this stage of the season now. Some teams are sort of drifting a bit towards the end of the season. Other teams have got a lot more on the line. I'm going to go for a West Brom win. I think 5-2 is too much to ignore.
Well, I wasn't expecting such love for West Brom. Dan and Dan and Aidan have been given some cash by Sam Allardyce, but there we go. Brighton and Everton, the final game in the football postcast to preview this week. Carl, when we were talking about the top four market, I was surprised at how big a price Everton were, because they're still in the hunt for the top four.
Yeah, they really are. I think it's to do with their home form. They're just not fancied because they just don't get out and done at Goodison Park. But in terms of this match, Brighton are 13-10, Everton are 9-4, Jack, and 21-10 is the draw.
Which way will it go?
I'm going to be bold here, and I'm going to go with Everton. Just James Rodriguez back fit for them. He adds a lot of creativity to their attack. They're obviously, I have no problems back in Everton when they're not at Goodison Park. And they conceded a late goal last time out against Palace. They missed a lot of chances and should have put the match to bed much earlier. But there's been under 2.5 goals as well in five of Everton's last six. So a Toffees win and under 2.5 goals was just a big price at 9-2 for me here. And that is the way I'd play it.
Yeah, they have been poor at home, Dan, Everton. But do you feel as if that's skewing our opinion on them slightly?
I think so, yeah. And I think maybe the fact that when you watch them, they don't always... play fluent football, didn't they? They often kind of rely on moments and the quality of their, you know, attacking players. You like Sir Richarlison, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, James Rodriguez, who's been, you know, mentioned. I mean, the fact they've got those quality match-winning individuals is the reason I would agree with Carl. I think they're overpriced here. I would take them to win the game against a Brighton team that do look easy on the eye when they play, but maybe lack that individual quality, you know, to win your games. They've only won two home games all season, Brighton. Everton, you know, have won 9 games on the road. I mean, those odds for Everton to win are just too big. Everton.
Oh, there we go. Aidan, you can have the final say here. Brighton, are they out of the relegation scrap now?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure they're definitely out of it. They have had some, you know, improved results. The win at Southampton and then the 3-0 win over Newcastle were much needed. But we've talked a lot about Brighton on this show before, in that I don't think they've always got the results that their performances have deserved. Certainly earlier in the season, they were playing some good football, and you know, they were narrowly losing matches by sort of the odd goal here and there. In terms of this one, I'm gonna go for a Brighton win. And again, I'm repeating myself a little bit, but I think it's, you know, maybe because the need is a little bit greater for them. I know Everton have still got this chance at the top four, but you know, I think that's just going to be a little bit beyond Carlo Ancelotti's team. I'm going to go for a Brighton win in this one. I like the odds of 13-10.
A really difficult slate to try and predict this week in the Premier League. And let's make things even tougher for the panel. Let's have a brief look at some of the other divisions. And I'm sure Dan Childs has a couple of EFL picks. You can read his selections in the Racing Post Sport, either in the newspaper or on racingpost.com. Dan, the EFL has got to that joyful point in the season where it is absolute carnage. We saw a Mick McCarthy Cardiff side who were just in sensational form, pumped 5-0 by struggling Sheffield Wednesday. Norwich put 7 past Huddersfield. It's bonkers, but that's why we love it. Any selections from the EFL? You're going to tell me no now, aren't you?
No, absolutely. There's always selections in the EFL, and reasons to get, you know, find an edge. And I'm, you know, similar to what you just mentioned there with Sheffield Wednesday, there are teams at this stage of the season that are going to find a new level, because it's almost desperation stakes now. You know, teams like Sheffield Wednesday that have got loads to play for against a team like Cardiff that have fallen out of the playoff picture. They just showed more desire, you know, and quality actually in that game. And on a similar note here, I'm going to go with Birmingham 19-10 at home to Stoke, who really look just marooned in mid table at the moment. Birmingham have still got loads to play for. They're 7 points above the relegation zone, but you've third from bottom is Rotherham. We've got 4 games in hand, so they're not going to be feeling comfortable at all. However, since Lee Bowyer's gone in there, they've had 4 games against top 6 sides, Birmingham. They've taken 7 points. Fantastic 2-1 win over Reading, 1-0 win against Swansea, and then a 0-0 draw at Brentford on Tuesday. They've got some great results against big teams chasing promotion. Surely they'll have a good chance against Stoke, as I said. Season's petering out, lost 2-1 at home to Millwall on Monday. I think they'll lose at Birmingham.
Okay, lovely stuff, Dan. Carl, any other selections? You've been jumping into Europe recently. You kind of swayed away from Mick McCarthy and going into Europe. Is that the same today?
No, I'm going to stick with Norwich and Watford, my good trusty buddies in the Championship. I just think Norwich 8-11 looks a good price. They've won one in their last 5 derby, and Watford going well as well there at home to Reading. They've won their last 4, so that double looks good, 8-11 and 5-6. And yeah, that's how I'm going to play in the Championship this week.
Yeah, worth noting as well, if results go Norwich's way, we could have the first team promoted out of the Championship. And Aidan, let's go with you.
Yeah, in just terms of elsewhere this weekend, you've got to remember it's Real Barca. So El Clasico is something to be looking at. I in terms of the betting for it, I haven't really delved into it as yet. I just think it's obviously a game that is massive in terms of, you know, the prestige and the tradition. And, you know, Real have had the big game against Liverpool in the week, so maybe this could be an opportunity for Barcelona to get the win. It's always one that grabs the attention, the Clasico this weekend.
Time for the naps.
This will not be beaten.
The strongest selection from each of our panelists into an enhanced treble on the Paddy Power website. Carl, kick things off.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Arsenal 4-7 against Sheffield United. I just think it looks safe, Jack, and I need it to come up for me for my credibility. So 4-7 Arsenal.
Pressure on the line for Carl. Dan?
Yeah, I'm hoping I'm playing it safe as well with Cheltenham in League Two, second in League Two, at home to Leighton Orient, who are 10th. Shade of odds on Cheltenham. I watched a bit of their game actually on Good Friday, where they won 4-0 at home to promotion rivals Tranmere. Absolutely superb in that game. Three of the goals came after, you know, Ben Tozer long throws, which you know have been absolutely, you know, a huge weapon for Cheltenham this season. They've got quality elsewhere in the team, though, including Lester Loney, Callum Wright, who scored a superb volley in that game. They've won four of the last five home games. I think they'll be too strong for Leighton Orient, who are struggling a bit now to reach the playoffs after they drew 0-0 home to Walsall on Easter Monday. Cheltenham to win that one.
Yeah, you certainly can't question the commitment of a man watching Cheltenham Tranmere on a bank holiday Friday. Aidan, complete the treble.
Yeah, well, if them two are playing it safe, I'm probably taking a bit of a risk then. I'm going to go for Nottingham Forest to win at Bristol City in the Championship. 13-10 is the latest odds I've seen on that for Forest to win at Bristol City. Forest have won their last two, beating QPR and Cardiff, whereas Bristol City have lost the last three straight to Rotherham, Stoke and Bristol City. The two games against Rotherham and Stoke were both at home as well. So just looking at the relative two teams' forms, and I think Forest are a decent value to win that one.
Great stuff, Aidan. Okay, let's quickly go through that treble for you. Arsenal, Cheltenham and Nottingham Forest. That will be on the Paddy Power website by the time you've listened to this. So head over there if you like the sound of that. As always, lots of selections put up from the gents this week. You don't have to back all of them. Please do remember to gamble responsibly and within your means. Another football postcast coming your way next week. So make sure you're subscribed on Spotify, iTunes or wherever you listen to your postcasts, and we'll see you then. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators, available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. Begambleaware.org.